I would like you, please, church, to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I'm going to be reading two verses. 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament. And I'm going to be reading two verses, obviously just after 1 Corinthians and just before the book of Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'll read from verse number 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Powerful. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, we recognize the word in there is not mine, it's not ours, but yours. Lord, in your characteristic manner, we ask that you will breathe upon your word this morning. Let it come alive unto us, especially at such a very challenging period around the world, that your word will go forth with power. Your word will go forth with power this morning, and it's going to bring healing. It's going to bring encouragement. It's going to bring hope. It's going to replace our weakness for your strength. I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people this morning to receive the word, the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. I ask that you anoint me afresh and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word flow out of me this morning like streams of living water. Let it be in accuracy and in power, in simplicity and in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God, so that at the end of this service, all of us, both the speaker and the hearer, will have a testimony that we have been blessed of you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. This morning, I would like to bring the word of God to us. I've titled it, Confined but Not Contained. Confined but Not Contained. You know, subsequent to the 9/11 attack that took place in the United States, experts began to give indication that the aviation industry was not going to be the same ever again. Events over the years have proven them to be quite very right, because the aviation industry has never since that time remained the same again. We are currently in the midst of what many people have termed world crisis as a result of COVID-19. And several experts have started speaking again, many of them predicting that even after this pandemic is all over, our world will perhaps never remain the same again. To be honest, you really don't need to be an expert to understand and to know that the world as we knew it a few months ago will probably not be the world that we're going to see, you know, after even the pandemic is over. Like I said, you don't need an expert to know that. My question in all of this morning is, how are you doing? Maybe you don't hear me. Let me move closer. How are you doing? And I'm not expecting the usual, you know, programmed response. I'm fine. Maybe I should put it in a very, very different manner. How are you really doing? Because in the past weeks and months, many things have changed for us. You know, economy of nations have been crippled by this pandemic. Meetings upon meetings and engagements have obviously canceled. Businesses crippled. Like I said, economy of nations have been quite significantly affected. Health crises everywhere. As you are looking at me from the comfort of your homes or wherever you are, some of you are actually directly affected, because you are either in this health crisis or you have somebody who is going through that health crisis. There is obviously some degree of confinement that has come as a result of this pandemic. What I mean by that is we've been asked to be restricted in some form or the other. Some of them are just restrictions of movement. Some actually is in the realm of total, complete lockdown of communities, of towns, of cities, of nations. And that's why I'm asking you this morning, how are you really doing? How are you really doing? And by that I mean, in the midst of all of this crisis, how are you coping? Let me be very specific to ask you, what has happened to your joy? What has happened to your peace? What has happened to your hopes? What has happened to your dreams, your aspirations? What has happened to your sense of purpose? What has happened to your sense of security? What has happened to your confidence in God? What has happened to the confidence that you have always had about the fact that God is the one that rules over the affairs of men? And because your answer to this question will tell me exactly how you are doing. What has happened to your hopes for your family, your aspirations regarding your career, you know, your dreams, especially when 2020 came around for the year and for the future? What has happened to all of them? Surely at this time, we are able to say, just like Paul said in the passage we have just read, that we are hard-pressed on every side. We feel persecuted as the human race. Of course, we are perplexed. You know, for many of us, we are still in the realm of this sense of perplexity. We are obviously struck down because the nation of the world, we are running helter-skelter to understand this particular COVID-19, and more importantly, to be able to prefer a solution to it. I'm, however, hoping that your experience is not just limited to the things that I've talked about. I am hoping that there is a but attached to those feelings that I've just talked about. For instance, in the passage we have just read, Paul said, yes, I've been hard-pressed. But that's not the end of the story. I've been hard-pressed, but I don't feel crushed. Yes, I feel persecuted, but I don't feel forsaken. I feel perplexed, but I'm not in despair. In other words, I've not lost hope. I feel struck down, but obviously not destroyed. I'm believing and I'm hoping that you are also having a bolt attached to your feeling of being struck down, your feeling of being forsaken, your feeling of being perplexed, your feeling of being hard-pressed from every side. I'm hoping that you also have this testimony that you don't feel crushed, that you don't feel you are in despair, hopeless, that you don't feel forsaken, abandoned by God, abandoned by your people, that you don't feel struck, that you don't feel crushed to the point that you feel destroyed. I'm hoping that there is something that you are holding on to. Can I add one more thing? I am hoping that although you feel confined, you don't feel contained. I'm hoping that although you feel confined to your homes, you can only come out at certain period and certain times of the day. You can only do your business within certain restricted hours. For some communities, completely shut down in your home. The other time I was watching the news about a gentleman who was begging the government to be released from the confinement that they have put him in an hotel just because of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm hoping that you're not just feeling confined, but you are going above that not to feel contained. Yes, confined, but not contained. What do I mean to be contained? To be contained comes with this sense of having the sense of your influence being clipped. Someone is said to be contained, particularly in this context, when your dreams have been taken away from you. I'm hoping that even though you are confined, you don't have your dreams taken away from you. I'm hoping that your aspirations have not been blown away, you know, by the reason of the confinement that we are experiencing. As a matter of fact, Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, talked about this particular experience. Even though he was in prison, he said he didn't feel contained. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Let's see exactly what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. Paul says, "For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chain. But the word of God is not contained." I love that. "But the word of God is not contained." In other words, yes, I'm feeling confined. I'm feeling chained. That's my experience. But my influence has not been contained. The word of God is not contained, because that same word was preached to several other communities and churches in his day and time, even though he was confined in the prison. You might be having something that is close to the prison experience at this point in time, and that's okay. That is supposed to help us as a community to be able to take over and take charge of the COVID-19 crisis. But I am hoping and I am praying that you are not feeling contained in terms of your influence, in terms of the extent of the development of your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations. I am hoping that your confidence in God has not been contained to the point that you have lost the hope and the confidence that you once radiated in God. You may feel confined, but I hope you are not contained. My question this morning is simple. Are you just confined, or have you been contained? Have you just been confined to your homes, or have you been contained to the extent of you losing your hopes and your aspirations and your dreams? Because someone that has lost his hopes and his aspirations and his dreams, someone that has lost his sense of confidence and security in God, has not just been confined. That person has been contained. I'm hoping that you have not been contained in that sense. A confined person has lost something, obviously. You've lost your freedom, as it were. But a contained person seems to have lost everything. Because when you are contained, that means your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations has been put in the bucket and the lid has been put on it. You don't have the wings, as it were, to be able to fly. I'm hoping that you have not lost all that. You know, a wise man once said that many men that he has come across died at around age 25, but they only got buried at age 75. What that means is that that man died when the hopes, the dreams, and his aspirations were clipped. The wings of those hopes have been clipped, such that the rest of his days is just in existence, but is not living that hope. So that man has been contained, as it were. This crisis may have confined you to your home. You were not able to have church as usual. But I am hoping, I am praying that you have not been contained, that the fuel of your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations is not drained completely from you, but is still burning very well. Three things I want to leave with you this morning to help you, especially in this lockdown, so that even though you feel confined, you don't feel contained. Three things to not do this morning. The three things that I don't want you to do while you are in this confinement, as it were, while you are in this temporary state of being confined, of being restricted, you know, in terms of how you move, in terms of how you live your life. Three things I want you to learn as we go through this season. We don't know for how long it's going to go for. Some people have predicted that it's going to take a couple of months. Some people have said it's going to take longer than that. We don't know. But during this period of being confined, I want to give you three things to not do, because falling into the trap of doing these things will not just mean that you are temporarily contained or temporarily confined, but you have been totally, absolutely, forever maybe contained in terms of your influence and the expression of your dreams. Three things. And we're going to glean them from the story of the man called Joseph. I love Joseph. By the way, my name is Joseph, you know, and our church family call me Joe. You know, I always jokingly say that in our community in Australia, we make long names to become shorter, and short names to even be shorter still. So if you're Joseph, you're Joe. And if you came to Australia with Joe, you become Jay. Or if you come to Australia with Jay, you don't have a name. You know, I want to also glean from the experience of the man called Joseph. And it's in Genesis chapter number 37, Genesis up to chapter 40. That's what we're going to be reviewing this beautiful morning. Let me give you a little bit of a background to this story, and maybe that's going to help our understanding. Joseph had a dream. In Genesis chapter number 37, I will read verse 5. Genesis chapter 37. I will read verse 5. As we go to these three things that you must not do when you are in lockdown or when you are in confinement. So Joseph had a dream. Verse chapter 37 of Genesis. Look at what it says in verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and horse also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." Verse 8. And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9 says, "Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have a dream and another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 says, bow down to me.'" And on you go. So Joseph was a dreamer. He had a dream. And it is interesting that it was on the basis of this dream that his brothers even hated him the more. That's what the Bible says. Of course, they hated him before, because his father actually loved him much more than any other of his children. But because of his dreams, they hated him the more. And so it happened that for one reason, for the reason of his dream, he was sold into slavery. He was sold into slavery. He was in the house of a man by the name of Potiphar. And then in slavery, while working and doing his job in the house of Potiphar, he got framed up by the wife of Potiphar, who had wanted him to sleep with him. And so he landed in jail, in what we refer to as a confinement. And that's exactly what the Bible describes it as. Look at Genesis chapter number 39, and we're going to see exactly how this man managed his confinement such that he did not have his dreams, hopes, and aspirations contained while he was in confinement. Look at verse number 20, Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners," see that word, "were," say it, "confined," all right? "And he was there in the prison." He was confined. He was there in the prison. Look at what it says in verse number 1 to 3. I just want you to see that word again, confined. Chapter number 40 from verse 1. "It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was," say that word again, "confined." All right, so Joseph was in a confinement, if you like, in this place. He was obviously in prison. Now, I know we're not in prison, you know, at this point in time, praise God. And maybe you are in prison, but for many of us, we're not in prison. But we're in some form of confinement, lockdown, You know, and if you are in prison today, this word is coming to you. I want you to let your faith rise up, because even where you are, the Lord can still reach you, because the Lord obviously was with Joseph, as we're going to see in a short while in prison. So this man was in a form of confinement. We are restricted. So how exactly do we deal with this confinement so that it does not translate to a state of being contained? Because like I said, it has a way of actually getting people to a state of being contained so that their hopes and dreams and aspirations becomes wiped up just simply because they are physically restricted, and because they are restricted in terms of their reach, in terms of their business, in terms of their studies at this point in time. Three things that I don't want you to do while you are in confinement, which were exactly what Joseph did when he was in confinement. Number one, don't lose your dream. I'll say that again. Number one, while in confinement, don't lose your dream. Your dream for your career, your dream regarding your family, your dream regarding your walk with God, your relationship with God. Don't lose those dreams. Now, by the reason of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, we feel hard-pressed, but I'm asking you to please not give up on your dreams. There is that tendency for you to want to give up hopes and your dreams and your aspirations at this point in time. Some of the dreams that you had at the beginning of the year, of the things you're going to do, the things you're going to accomplish, at this point in time, the enemy will come to kind of snap those dreams away from you. Don't lose those dreams. The dreams that you have, the hopes that you have, the aspirations that you have regarding what you believe the Lord will do in your life, in your family, in your home, in your relationship, in your future. Don't allow the enemy to take them away from you. Don't lose your dream. Joseph obviously did not lose his dream. He held tenaciously to his dream. Why? Because perhaps he knew that the enemy had actually orchestrated his being in this confinement for just one singular reason: to take up of him his dreams. You know, it's just like what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 4, verse 19. You remember that story? The parable, rather. Mark chapter number 4 talks about the parable of the sower. And then it talks about the sower sowing the seed. And one of the places where the seed fell on was a stony ground. And the Bible says as soon as the seed, you know, sprouted, you know, it became invaded, because the Bible now begin to explain it, that when persecution and tribulation arises, not for the word's sake, the persecution and the affliction arises for the word's sake. The persecution or the confinement that Joseph actually experienced was simply because the enemy wanted to take over his dreams. And Joseph knew that. I'm saying that don't lose your dream in this confinement, because the confinement may have been orchestrated by the enemy, of course, to steal the dreams of millions of people in the world. This is what I refer to as a global assault. And it's not just a reference that I'm making. It's the reference that many people have made. It's a global assault, and finances and resources have been lost every day, such that people are beginning to scale down their dreams. Nations are beginning to scale back, you know, on their dreams, of their hopes, of the things that they want to accomplish for their citizenry. Exactly the same way, the hopes and the dreams of many people and many families and many individuals are being threatened right now. What if the reason for all this confinement was actually to get those hopes and those dreams off you? I'm saying don't lose those dreams. Those dreams and those hopes, I believe, were given to you by God. In the case of Joseph, obviously, it was expressly given to him by God. And so the enemy is all out to take those dreams from him. But he refused to allow the enemy to take his dream. I'm saying this morning, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. Because the lockdown may actually be a part of the process of God realizing those dreams in your life. Let me say that again. Don't give up on your dream, because the temporary lockdown, the temporary confinement may actually be part of the process of you realizing your dream. In Joseph's case, it was a grand plan by God. The confinement was part of the heaven's plan to get Joseph to his dream. So don't lose your dream. I know some of you are smiling where you are saying, Pastor, I hope and I wish I had some dreams before this lockdown started, because I didn't have any dream whatsoever for my family. I didn't have any kind of hopes or aspiration in terms of my walk with God or regarding my career. And so there is nothing to be lost, you know, because there was nothing that I had in terms of my hopes and dreams before. I want to say to you that it's not too late to have one. Yes, you heard me right. Right in the prison, right in your confinement, it's not too late to have one. Why? But because Joseph truly brought his dream into a state of confinement. Rather, let me say it in a different way. Joseph already had a dream before he was thrown into this confined position. All right. But there were other people in that same state, in that same prison with him. And they didn't bring their own dream from outside. The Bible talks about the butler. He did not bring this dream of his deliverance from outside. He actually dreamed within the confine of the prison. I'm saying to you, people of God, you are still able to dream. And I want to challenge you to dream in this period of your confinement. As a matter of fact, it's not too late to dream. Maybe some of you are actually in this state of confinement because God wants you to dream. You know, when you are confined, you are beginning to be able to think deeper, evaluate your life, and begin to ask yourself some very deep existential questions about your life, about your family, about your future. Maybe this is just a perfect time for you to begin to talk to the Lord and begin to ask him, what exactly is my reason for being here? In other words, you can actually get a dream and a hope and an aspiration for your life, for your future, for your family, for your endeavors and career, for your walk with God while you are in this confinement. So don't lose your dream. Don't lose your dream. Number two, while you are in confinement, don't waste the moment. Number one, don't lose your dream. Number two, don't waste the moment. Don't waste the moment. In other words, don't waste opportunities. Don't waste time or opportunities that are going to come across to you. You heard me right. Don't waste opportunities. It's not a matter, I am very confident that it's not a matter of if opportunities come to you in this period of being confined. I'm very confident that it's a matter of when opportunities come to you while you are in this confinement. You're going to have opportunities while you are in this confinement. I'm saying to you, please don't waste them. Don't waste the opportunities that are going to come to you. Many of them are going to be directly related to your hopes and your dreams, which you have thought will only be achieved when you are free, quote and unquote. But right now, certain opportunities are going to come up to you. Don't waste those moments. Don't waste those opportunities. Without doubt, you will have opportunities to add value to yourself. Without doubt, you will have opportunities to add value to others. Don't waste those opportunities. You have opportunities to add value to your people, to the people around you. You have opportunities to add value to yourself as a person. You have opportunities to add value to your spouse. You have opportunities to add value to your neighbors. You have opportunities to add value to your community. I'm saying to you, don't waste those opportunities. Joseph had an opportunity to give substance to the dream of another, and he did not shy away from that. Yes, he was in prison, but when he had an opportunity to add value to another person, when he had an opportunity to give wings, if you like, to the dream of another person, he did not waste those opportunities. Don't waste this opportunity of your confinement, because that opportunity will come unto you. I'm very sure of that. You know, don't let me say this. Don't waste this time of your confinement on entertainment. You heard me right. You know, there has been reports of how many people are now, you know, on various platforms, you know, searching for entertainment. Some of them not even good entertainment in that sense, you know. Don't waste your time and your opportunity just on these entertainment, you know, opportunities and platforms. I'm not suggesting that you should not use them at all, you know. We all use them. But I'm saying that you should not be a professional seeking after all sorts of things to entertain yourself when it is actually time to take time out to dig, think deeply and dig deep within the confine of your spirit man and dig out the things that the Lord has in stock for you, because it is in this period of quietness, you know, that you will be able to actually get much more from your conversation and your walk with God. I say quietness because the loud noise of the pursuit, you know, of running around is not there. Not by your choice, but by the reason of what is happening around the world. But you can take advantage of that and use the moment and nurse this opportunity. Don't waste the moment. Don't waste the moment. Don't waste the moment on YouTube, you know. Don't waste the moment on Netflix. Don't waste the moment on just chatting, you know, and chatting life away. Don't waste those moments. Why? Because if you do, then the enemy will have succeeded in not just getting you confined, but getting you contained, because that will have been the end of your hopes and dreams and aspirations. And this time is a time to actually dig deep and say, Lord, there must be a reason for this time. Show me exactly how to add value to my life. Show me exactly how to add value to the life of others around me. Some of you need to add value to the life of your spouse. Your wife needs you. She's been overwhelmed over time, you know, by the reason of the work that she needs to do in the house, taking care of the children. Sit down and give that support, you know. Don't be a master at changing the channels on the TV. What I'm suggesting to you is that don't waste this moment. You know, many years ago, there was something like this that happened while I was in the medical school. You know, I'm saying this because this is not the first time that this kind of confinement will happen. What is different in this instance is the global dimension that it is taken. So we were there in the medical school, and for some reasons, our teachers and our professors, that they downed tools. In other words, they said they were not going to work for some reason or the other. They had some problem with the government. And we were going to be there for several months. Now, we did not know it was going to take several months, but I had always wanted to write a book. You know, I had always wanted to, you know, to write this particular book, but there was not such time. So when this opportunity and this moment came, I grabbed it with both hands. And in that period, which lasted for about 4, 5, 6 months, I was able to write my second book. And even though it took a few years to be able to publish the book, but the writing of the manuscript actually took place in what you refer to as a confinement, you know, of some sort. Because I had colleagues at that time who were doing all sort of other things. But by the grace of God, I think I had enough sense to be able to pen down my thoughts and then to be able to give the book to my world, to my community at that point. I'm saying, don't waste this moment. Don't waste the moment. So number one, don't forget, don't lose your dream. Number two, don't waste the moment. Number three, and finally, don't gather negative attitudes. Don't gather negative attitude. One of the most dangerous set of people to come across are people that lack money, that lack resources. You know, they become like wild bulldog, you know. Resources are not flowing as it usually was before this time. You know, and some of us are obviously caught in that. But don't allow that to bring up negative attitudes to you. Cynicism, paranoia, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness are all known to thrive very well when there is this confinement of one sort or the other. Because of the frustration that confinement brings with it. The frustration that the confinement, the fact that you are not able to do what you want to do, it brings certain frustration. And this frustration makes you to begin to exhibit certain negative tendencies that you never even knew were there, you know, in the first place. You know, you become cynical, you become paranoid, you become unforgiving, you become, you know, bitter. Bitter against fellow people, bitter against the government, in fact, bitter against the world, you know. And just looking for some ways to escape this world, you become bitter against your spouse. And don't allow that to happen in the place of your confinement. Joseph, for instance, was the most bubbly guy in the prison. I am able to deduce that from the Bible, because the Bible talks about him actually being given the opportunity to hand to oversee the affairs of what took place in the prison. You know, as soon as Joseph came, you know, the keeper of the prison handed things over to him. I mean, you don't hand things over to people that are sadists, that are not interested in the people, in the affairs and the welfare of the people. You don't hand things over to people that are not even good relationally. You hand things over to people that are alive, that are well, that are bubbly, that have this that larger than life spirit. And that was how Joseph was in the prison. Don't forget, he got into the prison not because of what he did wrong, but because of what he did right. But he did not allow that confinement of the prison to so influence his attitude to the point that he started biting other people. Don't do that, people of God. Let not this period be the time that you're going to begin to be cynical, negative, or you begin to be unforgiving and harbor bitterness in your heart. Rather, don't let this time be the time that you're going to begin to gather the cobweb of negative attitudes. Don't do that. Because if you do, unfortunately, you have been taken not just from the platform of being confined to the platform of being contained. Your influence will be at contained by this negative attitude that will embellish, as it were, your future. I'm suggesting, I'm challenging you, don't get a negative attitude at this point in time. Not having money flowing in your hands does not mean you should become, you know, a bulldog biting everyone. You don't have to do that. You don't have to allow what is happening around you to affect how you respond. Some of you probably, if you missed the message last week, you need to go back to that. The higher response, how to respond and not to react to things. I'm saying your attitude needs to be good, perhaps even better at this point in time, because Joseph was probably a very respectful person, because he was able to even have relationship with the officials of Pharaoh. I mean, disrespectful people don't have that kind of privilege. So his attitude was just all good. That's why he was able to have conversation with the chief butler and the chief baker in the prison. As a matter of fact, while he was there, the captain of the guard to these very eminent personalities were actually given, they gave Joseph the privilege of overseeing, these eminent personalities, because his attitude was good. Don't allow your confinement to make you gather negative attitude. Let me begin to round up this morning, church. Why was Joseph not rotting away in this confinement? Why did he make it out and straight to the throne? Why was he able to manage this state of confinement to the point that he was able to get the best out of this period? Simple. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21. Genesis 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Stop. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You want to know why Joseph did not lose his dream? You want to know why Joseph did not waste his moment in that period of confinement? You don't want to know why he did not gather negative, bad attitudes? Because he had a relationship with God. He was intimate. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord. People of God, it is time for us to dig deeper into going into intimate fellowship with the Lord in this period of confinement. It is time to seek ways to move closer to the one who holds our world and the one who holds the world. It is time to begin to refresh the page of our relationship with the Lord and ask Him, how can there be a deeper one, Lord? Because there is something, I don't care what level of and platform of relationship you have with God right now. There is a deeper relationship that you can enter with God. And I'm suggesting and challenging you to do that, because that is going to help you to keep hopes alive. That's going to fuel your aspirations and hopes and set it in the right direction. That is going to plant your feet upon the rock to stay, such that you're not swept away by the frustration of this confinement. I'm asking you to become more intimate with the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, it's so difficult to have that intimate relationship with Him. Because the Bible says, no one comes to the Father except by me. The only way to have that intimate relationship with the Lord is to come to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about the finished work of Calvary. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Easter. It's a finished work. Nothing too hard. Just come as you are. And as you come as you are through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell the Lord, I know I've messed up. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't have any fellowship or any relationship with you. But will you please accept me as your dear son or your dear daughter?